taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were every day American.
Hello there, everyday Americans. Welcome to the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free, and to do that, sometimes we need to deal with, let's call them, uncomfortable subjects. Today is going to be a perfect example. Now, Merriam-Webster defines racism as a belief that race is a fundamental determinant of human traits and capacity, and that racial differences produce an inherent superiority of a particular race. I want to parrot, you know, there's an old saying, to a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Well, to a racist, everything's about race. So as we look at what's been going on recently, look at the news, look at the politics, just look at society. And, you know, for years, the claims that America was systemically racist were patently false. Sadly, America's becoming a fundamentally, a systemically racist nation. It is not that that we were racist and we're trying to get better. It's that we had gotten over so much of our racism and now it's being reintroduced into society. And it's the very people, for the most part, that are complaining about racism that are introducing it into the mix. Take, for example, Mary Graybar. She did a book exposing and debunking the 1619 Project. Now, if your child is in school, especially a public school, please find out if they're being taught the 1619 Project, because the 1619 Project, by its own author's admission, is not history, it's philosophy. See, the 1619 Project basically says that America didn't start in 1776. No. It started in 1619 with the Atlantic slave trade as the foundation, the core of America, making, well, let's say, America a racist nation from its inception. Now, it completely ignores history. It completely ignores the fact that 1619 was not the first time originally indentured servants came to this country. It ignores the fact that many of the grievances that many of the colonies had was the fact that they tried to outlaw slavery and they were overruled by the crown or by parliament. Completely ignores that. It ignores the fact that of the original 13 colonies, only three really were slave dependent. While slaves were in pretty much all the colonies, there were only three that were really pushing for it. And as I said, the others, many of them like Virginia, had tried to ban the slave trade and were overturned. Those laws were overturned by the British Crown. You see, but your children are not being taught that. What your children are being taught is a fable. They leave out so much of our history in order to push this idea that America was racist. Well, why are they pushing that America was racist? Why are they looking at it and not saying, listen, what is the situation for the races today? Because they want to justify their position that America is a racist nation. Why? Well, for some, it gives them power. For some, it's simply self-aggrandizement or self-justification. But your children are now being taught, in some cases, to hate themselves because of the color of their skin. They're being taught that they're better than others because of the color of their skin. They're being taught to look at the other children in the room and judge them, not by their character, not by how they act with others, but by the color of their skin. we are training, we are allowing our children to be trained to be racist. And again, it starts in the schools. Of course, it doesn't end in the schools. Remember Senator Tim Scott, when he rebutted the president's address? Do you remember what he was called in many places? Uncle Tim. He was called an Uncle Tim, obviously referencing Uncle Tom, because it was determined that he wasn't the right kind of black. He did not follow the socialist Marxist view of certain leaning blacks. Therefore, he was called an Uncle Tim. He was called a racial slur because people disagreed with his politics. Did his policies denigrate black people? They can't find one. No one's shown me one of the any piece of legislation that Mr. Scott has supported, any of his positions that actually harms black people. But you see, he's not on the what's called the political plantation. He's not the right kind of black. See, we're going to find that American racism is not simply about race. In many cases, it's about a tool to implement Marxism. See, Mr. Scott doesn't appear to believe that you need special help just because you're black. That while you may start with a disadvantage, that cannot be overcome simply because you're black. And for that, he's ridiculed. For that, he's called a racial slur. Then we have media mogul Byron Allen. He runs Entertainment Studios Network, Inc., and he is filing a lawsuit against McDonald's because he doesn't think they spend enough money, advertising dollars, with African-American-owned media. Again, to a racist, everything is about race. Now, according to Mr. Allen here, he claims that African-Americans represent approximately 40% of McDonald's U.S. sales. Okay. But of its approximately $1.6 billion annual television advertising budget, McDonald's spends less than $5 million each year on African-American-owned media. Now, let's assume that those numbers are correct. Let's assume that those are not falsified numbers. Okay, of the $1.6 billion, $5 million goes in. Could there be reasons other than racism? Now, let's start off with the fact. If 40% of McDonald's U.S. revenue comes from the African-American community, that doesn't sound very racist to me, does it? Does it sound like McDonald's has a sign, white people only, to get into the building? Does it sound like McDonald's does not put franchises in African-American neighborhoods? Doesn't sound racist to me. So you'd have to prove that McDonald's spends less on African-American media because of a racism they don't show in the rest of their business. Now, could it be that the percentage of media owned by African Americans is substantially small percentage of all of the media? Could that be? Could McDonald's look and say, listen, we've got a 40%, we have a good market share in African-American-owned business. Why spend our advertising dollars in a market we already have good coverages? Why don't we spend our money where we want it to be most effective, to bring in more customers? Could that be it? That doesn't appear to be part of the analysis when it comes to this lawsuit. So while I don't claim to be able to read Mr. Allen's mind, this seems much more about his business. Could it be that he's attempting to blackmail McDonald's to spend more advertising dollars with his group? You know, kind of the way Jesse Jackson did with the Rainbow Coalition back in the 80s and 90s. This is racket. Could it be? Could it be that Mr. Allen is less concerned about race and more concerned about finding a way to get advertising dollars? These ideas are corrosive. They are corrosive in America. And they are being taught in our schools. So when the teachers union, the head of the teachers union, defends teaching a debunked history, as she did, this is not about curing racism. This is about sowing division in our nation. This is about teaching not simply racism, but Marxism in our schools. Let us take them when they're young. Teach them to be good little racists and to expect the government to fix their problems for them. That's what the 1619 Project is teaching. If you're a white person, you're a bad person simply because of the color of your skin. If you're black, you cannot be racist simply because of the color of your skin. The 1619 Project is not alone. It's being pushed with what's called critical race theory, or what should be called critical racism indoctrination. Now, Idaho passed a bill banning critical race theory in schools because critical race theory is being pushed in schools. Again, if you have a child in a school, especially a public school, find out what they're being brainwashed with. You'll probably find critical race theory. Again, race is what matters. Academics are racist because why? Because, interesting, because in many societies, in many neighborhoods, when black children try to be good at academics, because they know, you know, if I get a degree, if I can be good in school, I have a better chance. They look at the facts and they say, you know what? Being good in school correlates with a better long-term outcome. They're called Uncle Toms. They're called Oreos. They're called not black. Because they look at the facts and say, maybe if I do well in school, if I apply myself, maybe I can do better. Maybe I can get a degree. Maybe I can actually be a college professor. Ooh, maybe I can even become president of the United States. And in some neighborhoods, not because of race, I'm picking on specific neighborhoods, they're called racial slurs because they want to do well. We're hearing people complain of that, 2 + 2 = 4 is racist. And we wonder why racism permeates our thoughts. A suburb of Dallas has got a lot of attention because when the parents found out their children were being taught a version of critical race theory, the parents stood up. The parents fought back. They filed lawsuits. They challenged school board members and said because they didn't want their children indoctrinated into racism. Are you aware of what your children are being taught? Do you know for sure with evidence that 1619 and critical race theory are not being taught to your children, that they're not being indoctrinated? Someone may think I'm just complaining about, worried about white kids. No, imagine the future of Black and Latino children when they're told, you don't have to apply yourself. You don't have to work hard. You don't stand a chance, so why bother? How crushing, how crippling is that to the future of those children? How racist is it to tell them they don't stand a chance because of the color of their skin? Now, there are several lawsuits working their way through the courts about the teaching of critical race theory, about the application of critical race theory. In September, Trump issued an executive order banning the teaching of what he called malign ideology to federal employees and federal contractors. You couldn't teach critical race theory to federal employees and federal contractors. Now, in December, a federal judge blocked this. Personally, I think the federal judge has no legal authority to stop it. His or her opinion is interesting, but not binding. And then as soon as Joe Biden entered the White House, he issued an executive order overturning Trump's executive order, meaning now federal agents and contractors are being taught, their staff is being trained on unconscious bias, microaggression, systemic racism, and white privilege. They're being taught to be racist, to judge everything based on race. Now, we all have unconscious biases. It's called your worldview. Microaggressions are just people who are too weak-kneed to actually deal with anything they don't like. Systemic racism was gotten rid of in the late 60s and early 70s in this country. Those laws were overturned. Yet it's the same political party that's trying to reinstitute this racist training. The idea that anything you have, if you're white, is because of the color of your skin. It has nothing to do with how hard you worked. It had nothing to do with what sacrifices you made. It had nothing to do with the content and character. It had everything to do with the color of your skin. And this is now not only being taught to our children, it's being taught to federal agencies and federal contractors. What's going to happen when those agencies confront issues with people of different races, different colors of their skin? What happened to blind justice? Justice is not blind. That blindfold is not, she's not peeking out from under it. It's taken off. We are teaching federal agencies to be racist, to judge things based on the race of the people involved. That's why when a white officer saved the life of a black woman by shooting another black woman, he was labeled as racist. Didn't he save the life of a white woman? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Imagine you're another police officer in Columbus, Ohio, and you see a black person in the process of assaulting, possibly with a deadly weapon, another black person. Do you hesitate? Do you skip a beat, wondering whether or not you'll be charged or even just pilloried in the talking heads of our society because you dared enforce the law against a black person? That's where this is coming to. to the point where anytime a white officer enforces the law against a black person, they are not only assumed to be doing so for malicious reasons, they are pilloried without fact, without evidence in society. Tell me, when was the last time you stood up for someone who was wrongly pilloried, wrongly accused, wrongly judged in the court of public opinion because of the color of their skin? And it's not just schools. It's not just the federal government. It appears in an 86-page report called Organizational Strategic Plan to Embed Racial Justice and Advance Health Equity, the American Medical Association's Center for Health Equity contends that oppression, exclusion, and racism harm and kill, sapping our society of its full potential in all corners, especially in health. Do they have any evidence? I would say in general, yes. Oppression, exclusion, racism harms and kills. Does that mean they are going to stop the oppression of white people? The exclusion, the racism that is being not only taught, promoted in this country? No. The American Medical Association is now promoting racism. Their examples? Well, look at what happened to George Floyd. Now, if you paid any attention to the court case, racism was never mentioned. Racism, the race of George Floyd, was never mentioned as a reason why he was killed. Yet it is used as an example of racism to this day, contrary to all the facts and evidence. Why? Because we've turned this country so racially hyper-aware. It is taking over. We're getting to the point where a white police officer cannot get a fair trial if he's involved with a case against a black person. Because I know of at least one, possibly three, jurors in his trial who publicly stated they were afraid that if they found him not guilty, there would be riots. Does that sound like a fair trial? When you're judged not based on your actions, but on how someone else might react to your judgment? Does that sound like blind justice? No, that sounds like racist judgment. That is just as evil as the white officers in the 50s and 60s who were acquitted of horrible crimes against black people in the South. It is just as evil, and it is present today. It is present today in America. And ladies and gentlemen, it's gonna get worse. Now, a human resources expert and author, Jim Stroud, a man with 20 years of experience, has written about critical race theory's impact on the workplace. He notes that this quasi-Marxist theory has been heavily promulgated throughout academia, entertainment, government, schools, and the workplace. It's also given rise to groups like Antifa and Black Lives Matter. And now employers are including these doctrines in their human resources procedures. The assumption that that if you disagree with if a white person disagrees with a black person, it must be racism. He goes on to describe, so imagine that you're working in a space and the day before the training, everything was fine. You work with your coworkers, you had good friendships, good team building exercises, everything is fine. After the training, you're looking at your coworkers in a different way. You're wondering, okay, I thought you were my friend, but because of this training, I now believe that you are oppressing me, so I don't really know if we're really friends. I don't really know if we're really working together. I don't know if the reason why you refused me taking on some project is because my idea was invalid or because you're racist. Imagine the toxic working environment where everything is judged based on race, where you don't dare evaluate a coworker based on their work because you're afraid of being called a racist. You're afraid of losing your job, losing a promotion, because you actually judged a person's work rather than their race. Imagine being friends with someone one day and getting the stink eye from them the next because they were trained you're a racist because of the color of your skin. Racism is racism. And as long as we put a person's race above their character, above their work, above what they say and what they do, America will be a racist nation. That is what we are being trained to do. And way too many of the American people are accepting it. And sadly, even more are letting it happen. Now, before we go to break, I wanted to remind you that America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio Network. You can also listen on our media player. You can listen from any web browser anywhere in the world. We have the best-in-class apps available on Apple, Android, and Alexa. We stream 24/7, and now you can also hear them on podcast on that very same app. So please check out the America Out Loud app or find us on iHeartRadio and stick with us, and we'll be right back after this break.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cells pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutloud.com is the alternative from the agenda-driven globalist. Here, we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. On-demand podcast or real-time talk radio with our streaming apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America They support veteran-owned businesses, as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together, we need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
Welcome back to the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm enjoying all of you everyday Americans listening and learning about our Constitution, about our rights, and about our liberty. And today, we are talking about racism. And we've looked at examples from the 1619 Project and critical race theory, but these ideas permeate so much more of our society. And while we tend to focus apparently on the racism between blacks and whites, it's being taught and being permeated through so much of our political discourse. See, the dirty little secret nobody wants you to know, or at least those in politics don't want you to know, is that racism was getting better. See, in the 50s and 60s, the primarily Democratic South implemented Jim Crow laws. These were actual laws that identified, separated, segregated, and punished blacks in America. Rosa Parks was told to sit in the back of the bus because that was the law. The Negro or the black water fountains, bathrooms, lunch counters, those were the law. Now, does that mean there weren't racists? Oh, there were plenty of racists. There were probably plenty of people who would not have done business with blacks, even without the law. But it was in the primarily Democratic South. In fact, it was, I believe, these Jim Crow laws existed almost exclusively in democratically controlled states. And the Civil Rights Law, which banned these, was supported not by Democrats in Congress. No. It was supported, it was promoted, it was passed by Republicans. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm still a pox on both their houses. But this history of racism that is resurgent seems to be coming primarily from one of the two parties. It seems that one of the two parties judges everything based on race, and it's one of the two parties that is willing to vilify their opponents with the term racism, regardless of its accuracy. For example, in the U.S. Senate, an amendment was proposed to the COVID-19 Hate Crimes Act. The act was purported to deal with hate crimes against Asian Americans. So Senator Ted Cruz proposed an amendment that would prohibit federal funds for higher education institutions that discriminate against Asian Americans. Hey, if you've got an Asian American hate crime bill, why don't we not fund people who are discriminating against Asian Americans? Every Senate Democrat voted against that amendment. Every Democrat. The amendment failed 49-48. But notice, every Democrat, the people who are screaming from the rooftops that America is a racist nation, would not ban funds to colleges and universities that have racist policies. See, folks, this cry about racism isn't about making life better for the races. It's not about actually getting rid of discrimination. It is a political tool. It is a political tool to gin up votes, gin up support, keep people angry, and convince them not to vote for the other guy because, well, I've called him a racist. Again, not just in the federal government. In Minnesota, Governor Waltz backed a bill that would give politically one-sided groups influence over the hate crime data that his state collates and propagates. In other words, the people who would decide whether or not something was motivated by bias would be the very same people who were screaming, "Everything is racism." That's, again, like giving a hammer the job of determining what is and is not a nail. Again, it'd be one thing if there were some diversity of thought in these groups, but no. Minnesota, if you live in Minnesota, your governor, who you and your neighbors elected to exercise the executive power of your state, is supporting a bill to give racists the authority to determine what is racially biased. Talk about the fox guarding the hen house. There's more. There's a white Florida farmer who is suing. He's suing Secretary Tom Vilsack because the American Rescue Plan Act, which was signed into law back in March, allocates $1.9 trillion, that's right, trillion with a T, in federal funds. And Section 1005 of that act directs the secretary to, quote, provide a payment in an amount of up to 120% of the outstanding indebtedness of each socially disadvantaged farmer or rancher as of January 2021. Now, why is this farmer suing? Because Section 1001, according to the complaint, quote, assumes farmers and ranchers are socially disadvantaged for no other reason than their membership in a racial group, and categorically excludes other farmers and ranchers from loan assistance if they do not belong in a socially disadvantaged racial group. The American Rescue Plan Act is racist. That's right. This democratically promoted, this democratically pushed through, and in some cases Republican supported act is racist. If they are judging a person's status, if they're judging if someone is socially disadvantaged simply by the color of their skin, it is racist. And this farmer's standing up. Now, what I personally find interesting about this case, besides the fact of it's standing up to systemic racism in the Biden administration and the current U.S. Congress, is the fact they're basing it on the Fifth Amendment's Due Process Clause that says you cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And the claim that the government, it requires the government to practice equal protection, even though it doesn't say equal protection. Not in the Fifth Amendment. But again, more proof that the Biden administration and the current Congress is racist. If you are a black farmer and you're mildly in debt, you get up to 120% of your indebtedness. If you're a white farmer and you're a redneck, if you are a poor white farmer and you are up to debt to your eyeballs, you don't get money. You don't get that 100. You don't get it because you're not the right race. Is it a question of is there evidence that they were not able to get the loans, that they had some subject? No. This is a straight-up racist act. And your representatives in Congress, passed it. Now, your representative may or may not vote for it. Do you know? Have you checked the voting record of your representative and found out if they support a racist federal cash program? You want more? The Southern Environmental Law Center had filed a complaint with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, alleging that a proposed pipeline, the Byhalia pipeline, violates the Civil Rights Act. Now, I'm trying to figure out how a pipeline violates the Civil Rights Act. Now, according to this group's website, the pipeline is a crude oil pipeline that's supposed to run 49 miles from Memphis to Marshall County, Mississippi. Now, the complaint alleges that the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation violated Title VI by making a permit decision that disproportionately burdens black communities in southwest Memphis without a substantial justification for doing so. Okay, now wait a second. We're building a pipeline. That requires people to actually be employed in the building of the pipeline. And it's going to go through a portion of Tennessee that has a large black population in the southwest Memphis area, which means people are going to be buying stuff there. People are going to be engaged in commerce there. But again, the Southern Environmental Law Center apparently doesn't like the pipeline, because, as the complaint alleges, a continuing and ongoing basis of adoption of a policy that it cannot and will not consider environmental justice impacts of its water quality permitting decisions. Okay, if this pipeline has an environmental impact, which I'm sure it will, I mean, kind of has to, doesn't it? They don't care whether the water quality is good or not. They only care if the water quality is good in the black neighborhoods or not. This sounds to me a lot less about negative impacts in black neighborhoods and a lot more about, we don't like pipelines, we don't like fossil fuels, and we will find any excuse we can to stop the pipelines. Now, anybody remember just a couple weeks ago when the pipeline shut down? You know, the price increases, the lack of gas, the lines. Now, if they simply said, listen, we're concerned that you haven't properly looked at the environmental impact, that's one thing, but they didn't. They said, no, you simply went this through the black neighborhoods. Now, I don't know which neighborhoods this pipeline goes through. I don't know their skin color makeup, the content of melanin in those neighborhoods. I also don't know why the pipeline company wanted to put it through there. But if their concern is simply that it's racist, they're showing themselves to be racist. If their only concern is not that this pipeline is dangerous, that it's going to have negative impacts, only that it's going to have negative impacts to black neighborhoods, these people are racist. And if you want a sneak peek of what is in our future, history says, you want to know what's in the future? Look at the colleges and universities. What, just 5 and 10 years ago, people said, well, that's just on the university. It would never survive in the real world. We are seeing today. For example, Cornell University. A group of students have stood up to defend the university's segregation program. Now, hang on a second. I'm old enough to remember, didn't we have demonstrations? Wasn't that the push of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? Did we not elevate people like Rosa Parks for standing up against segregation? Yet here we have a Northeast university, Cornell University. They have a segregation program. They segregate rock climbing courses. Now, they say they do it in the name of anti-racism. This to me, I mean, this is, tell me this isn't doublespeak. You're going to implement a racist segregation program to combat racism. You're going to institute racism in the name of anti-racism. Are we living in 1984? See, the controversy, according to the school paper, started when news that the BIPOC rock climbing class, the Black, Indigenous, and People of Color rock climbing class, triggered a wave of media coverage. I'm sorry, do the rocks care what color your skin is? Does gravity care how much melanin is in your skin when you're holding onto that rock, trying not to fall? According to the course description, the class is designed to enable Black, Indigenous, Latinx, Asia, and other people of color underrepresented in the sport of rock climbing to learn the sport and to feel included and supported. You're including them and supporting them by segregating them. Why are we fixated on how many people do absolutely everything? Does anybody ask why? It is mainly white people that want to go hang off a rock? Does anybody look to say, hey, are these people being denied or even dissuaded from these pursuits? This is what happens when we teach racism. When we teach people to judge everything based on race and on quotas. This class exists for the sole purpose of, we don't like how many Black people, how many people of color are in the sport of rock climbing, so we want to encourage more of them. And we're going to force you to do it. What happens in this if this class, people don't show up? Is that going to be considered racist too? How long before your child's playground is shut down because not enough children of color play in it? How long before we have lines for carnivals that are white only and people of color only? How long before your supermarket has a BIPOC section where only people of color are allowed to shop? If you think I'm crazy, this is our future. The craziness we're dealing today started in the universities, and since we didn't deal with it then, we are dealing with this stupidity now. Now, so far, we've been talking about race, but the war on racism is not simply about race. It has become a war of segregation. And it's become a war of denying facts, denying science, denying reality. Racism in America today is not about the suppression of a race. It is about political power. The ability to shut up the other side by simply using the term racism. And we see it now, not only as race, but in biology. For example, the governor of Kansas vetoed a bill that would have banned biological men from participating in women's sports. Again, women's sports programs were created because women biologically are at a disadvantage in many sports, not all sports. Personally, I love auto racing. A woman does not have a disadvantage in auto racing, therefore we don't need a female IndyCar. There is no woman's Formula One. There is no ladies-only stock car. But in many sports, it makes a huge difference. Because men have naturally larger lung capacity, naturally larger muscles. It's part of genetics. It's science, folks. So when you take someone with a mental disorder, they look at their body and say, nope, that's wrong. I reject reality and substitute my own preference. And everyone goes, oh, but they have, what about their rights? What about the rights of the women they are excluding from the sport, from the benefits of this sport because of a mental disorder? Paul, you can't say transgenderism. I absolutely can. I can prove it. All you need to do is take somebody's blood and look at the chromosomes. XX, you're female. XY, you're male. And in things like track and field, wrestling, other sports where muscle mass, lung capacity give you a distinct advantage, we separated the sports. Every woman in this country should be standing up and saying, how dare you? We fought, we argued, we finally got our own sport so that we could stand a chance. And you want to take it away from us so that so that somebody with a mental disease or that some politician can claim transphobia and shut you up. Not just Kansas, Pennsylvania governor vowed to veto what he referred to as discriminatory ban on males in women's sports. Well, I hate to tell you this, governor. Not only do you discriminate each and every day, but the ban you're proposing, I'm sorry, the opposition to the ban is discriminating against women. I forget which year this was. Within the last couple of years, the slowest track and field runner in the men's NCAA would beat each and every member of the women's NCAA track and field. The slowest runner would be setting world records. The slowest male runner would set world records in the female runner. Same for swimming. By blocking this ban, Governor Wolf, you are discriminating not against the tiny minority of people in your state who have a mental disorder. You are discriminating against nearly half of the citizens you claim to represent by saying they don't deserve to compete on an even playing field for prizes, for trophies, for scholarships, for championships. You disgust me. Even the CEO of the American Medical Association, he thinks children should be mutilated, chemically castrated. And the idea that a government whose purpose is to protect the life, liberty, and property of all citizens is government intrusion to say, listen, if you want to do this to your body, wait till you're an adult. He's not complaining about laws that ban adults. He's talking about laws that are banning kids. Now, I have to admit, in general, I don't think government should get involved in medical decisions. But we're talking about experimenting on our children. We're talking about child abuse. We're talking about federal judges who allow health, housing and urban development to require boys be allowed in girls' bathrooms. Do you want your daughter going to a school where the boys go in the same bathroom? Do you? Now we have to recognize racism, not simply based on skin color, not simply based on mental disorder, is nothing new. There are a group of people for whom the phrase never again means something. I saw this article in the Daily Caller and my heart dropped, not because I was surprised, but because I'm disgusted. See, a 97-year-old Auschwitz survivor was attacked on TikTok. Not physically attacked. She was attacked on TikTok because she posted a video wishing her followers a restful Shabbat. Have a lovely and peaceful weekend to honor the upcoming Sabbath. And she was bombarded with comments like, "Happy Holocaust. Peace be upon Hitler." And ask her if she thinks the treatment of Palestinians remind her of the treatment she got in the camps. These ideas of racism, these ideas of segregating us and pointing to the other, the ideas that people based on their race are unworthy of life. Lebens and Wertensleben's. Life unworthy of life is what led to Auschwitz. If you want to see the future of America, look at the past. Learn from our history, or we are doomed to repeat it. Now, if you like this show and you want to share it with friends and family, my broadcasts go to podcasts usually a couple days after they're heard on the radio. You can find them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart, basically anywhere you hear podcasts. You can also find them on the website, AmericaOutloud.com. Just search for The Constitution Study. Please go to Apple Podcasts, leave a rating and review, and join me here next time on The Constitution Study.
Maybe you'll stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.